So I wanted to tell you a bit about how Case of Adventure came to be. For as long as I can remember, I've loved traveling. I think my mom and dad still have some of those old silent movie videos that they took of me and a friend of mine when we were 2 years old playing in the snow in Switzerland. So my mom and dad always loved and prioritized travel. Before I was born, they lived in Jersey in the Channel Islands for a year, and they traveled a lot around the UK. My dad has many stories of when he was young going over to the UK on a ship and then traveling all around Europe. I think he even has stories about putting sand in the air conditioners on the ship that he and his brother found at the bottom of the swimming pool that they filled every day on the ship. So they got up to all kinds of nonsense. So then when I was two, I think that was the first time I went overseas. I could be wrong. I'm sure my mom would correct me. But I went many times, probably every 2 years. My parents really love traveling Switzerland and the UK particularly. And I have many amazing memories from there. My dad always believed that traveling was an education in itself and a growing experience, and he had no problem taking me out of school for a few weeks at a time. They would consult my teachers, and I don't think I usually got work to do on the road. I may have. I don't remember doing much. My dad was a teacher too, but he was very much learn from experience and learn from doing. And then my mom was always so good at getting us all organized and making all the parts of the trip happen in the way they should and keeping us fed and helping us not to lose track of anything of ours as we traveled. So I have such special memories from my travels as a child. One of the things I remember was when we spent a winter in Switzerland, well, not a whole winter, part of a winter in Switzerland. And I used to go down the snowy slopes on the toboggan with my dad. And one time his glasses fell off and the glass lens came out from one side. And we looked around in the snow a bit, but there was not much we could do. So he wore his replacement glasses and got those ones fixed, I think. But then amazingly, when we were back home in the summer, the lady whose chalet we had stayed in Switzerland found the glass, the part from inside the frame, after the snow had melted and it was lying there on the grass. And she found it and she mailed it back to my dad. And another thing about my dad was that he always made me nervous and he kept my mom on her toes. I'm sure it was quite a challenge for her. But what he always did was, especially when we traveled on trains, but sometimes on airplanes too, he would go and talk to the engine driver. So we would get on the train, my mom and I, and then he would settle us with our luggage, and then off he would go to talk to the engine driver or whoever he could find, and he would go and look at how the engine worked. Sometimes he took me with him, but usually it was, I remember him being the one that wasn't there, and he was busy exploring something or other. And then just as the train was going to pull out of the station, sometimes even as it started to pull out, he would come dashing along the platform and leap onto the train at the very last minute, only just making it. And my mom and I would sigh in relief. Even when we got used to it, we still never got used to it. One time I remember I had a teddy bear called Sambo, I think. Big teddy bear. And I took him on our travels. I don't remember where we were going to. But somehow when I was standing with my dad, I must have been about five perhaps or six. I was standing with my dad looking down at the tracks and he was explaining about the engine in the front of the train and how it worked. And somehow Sambo got dropped down onto the train tracks. So then we called the, I don't know who it was, the station master, and he came along and they climbed down on the tracks and they got my bear back. And I was so relieved. I remember being absolutely terrified that the bear would be run over by the train or that he would just have to stay there and never come back. But it wasn't that traumatic. I got him back. I remember sleeping on trains. That was amazing. They would have the three, it would be a family cabin. I know in some countries you share cabins with strangers, but we would be in a family cabin. And then there would be three bunk beds, one at the bottom, one in the middle, one at the top, that you could kind of build from the couches that you normally sat on. I remember there was also often a little table and chairs on the side of the cabin which had a map of the country we were in or where we were going, where the train traveled through. But I always was fascinated by this map that was written into the table. And I used to sit there for a long time and look at the map and look out the window of the train. And I loved to go and walk with my dad through the different carriages. And it was quite a scary thing in those days to cross over from one carriage to the next while the train was going, because you would go out of the door of the train and then you would cross over this very rickety joining piece between the two carriages and then go through a door into the next carriage. And so it was kind of a challenge and kind of scary, but I remember enjoying doing that. So I was talking about spending the night on the train. I remember the three kind of bunks, one above the other. The top one was very high. And sometimes perhaps there were only two, but then the steward would come and make up the bed, and it was the best thing ever to sleep on the train and wake up with the sound of the wheels, the motion of the train often put us to sleep. And I loved that. And then I also loved going to eat in the dining car of the train, where they always had a white tablecloth and they always had a fancy menu and the waiters, just like in a fancy restaurant, but it was just so much more amazing being on the train. And then I remember flying when I was still young. I flew up kind of 2 hours to my grandparents. Maybe it was only an hour away. I flew on my own, and I remember the air hostess taking special care of me and giving me a pack with coloring things. And it felt so grown up to be able to go on the airplane on my own. And then my grandparents would meet me on the other end. So there's so many amazing memories that I have from traveling as a child, and I'm going to tell you some more in a moment. But for me, it's so special to be able to let our children experience the world. I think that traveling as a child furthers your education like nothing else. It connects you with people from other cultures. And even though you're not actually traveling when you use our Case of Adventure products, what we really wanted was for you and your kids to experience that amazing feeling of the world being so big and so exciting, and to experience what it was like to be in another country with a completely different culture that was so unfamiliar, and to see things that you've never seen before and hear things that you've never heard before, to hear and see other people and the way they live and what they eat and what they do in their day-to-day lives. It's my hope that you'll be able to travel as a family and experience other countries with your kids, but also for you to experience so much of other countries through our adventure activity books and stories. I really want them to give you such a picture of what it's like to be there, that your kids, as they work through them, will be able to really feel like they're there and they're experiencing what the people are like, and they're hearing the people speak and they're tasting the food and seeing the sights. And also that they will be challenged in their own ways of thinking, that they'll be challenged to grow and to have the kind of education that only comes from traveling. I remember England as a child, So many pictures of England in my mind. I remember an impression of the way the houses often had doors that opened straight onto the street in London. And so you would be on the street and you would see the, you know, the red telephone booth nearby, and then you would see all the front doors lining the street. And as you open the front door to go into the house, there's the stairway directly upstairs. And I remember Madame Tussauds with all the amazing wax models, standing next to them, having photos taken, listening to them talk. I remember the amazing feeling that I'm standing outside Buckingham Palace and seeing the guards in their red uniforms standing perfectly still outside. We watched the changing of the guard with all the people marching and arriving and leaving the palace. And I've since been back to Buckingham Palace as an adult and many times, but the amazing awe of seeing it as a child has always stayed with me. I loved walking through St. James Park. I loved traveling on a bus to Oxford and to many of the tiny little towns like Farringdon and Littleworth, and just seeing the quaint little shops and seeing how differently the people lived there. We once went, actually more than once, on a ferry across the English Channel between France and England. And I remember being so amazed that there was a shop on the ferry. Now, these days, it's even more fancy. But back then, it was just such an amazing thing that there was a full-on shop, there was a library, there was a restaurant, and we were on a boat. And the island of Jersey was incredible, just so beautiful, so rustic, and the people all just so friendly, and so many traditions and little things that they did together on their little island. There's an amazing story that my mom sent to me recently that was written by a lady that was a friend of theirs when they lived on the island of Jersey. She had written all about what it was like many years before to live on the island during the German occupation in World War II. And it's an amazing article she wrote, I think, for a newspaper, but the story of what that was like. If you would like me to send you that story, please just send me a message. It's karen@caseofadventure.com, and just tell me you'd like the Jersey World War II story. It's really amazing. So there's so many things that I remember from travels as a child. I remember a hotel room in Spain that we were passing through with my little brother in a cot. I remember Washington, D.C., going to the White House on tour. I remember Disney World. I loved the fireworks at Epcot, and I loved the traveling drama players outside each of the each of the sections. So there was a country represented in different places around the lake, and then there you could taste the food from that particular country, and you could see a movie about it, and the traveling players used to come and entertain us and often be dressed up as people from that country wearing the traditional dress. I don't think there's anything that can replace those kind of experiences in a child's life. Then as an adult and with my husband, we've traveled to many places. We spent a good amount of time in Switzerland and in the UK again. And we spent quite a time living in the United States. And although I'm not American born, it has a very special place in my heart. We lived in California, Northern California, near San Francisco in Mountain Valley. And we loved being able to drive around and look at the headquarters for Google and for Microsoft and all those places back then. We spent time in Washington, D.C. and Florida and Las Vegas and many other wonderful places. Then after I had children of my own, I really wanted them to experience some of that. And so that's when I first started writing My first book was Cuckoo Clock Secrets in Switzerland. And I really wanted to bring together the history of Switzerland and our Christian history and the love I have for travel and especially for Switzerland, having spent so many wonderful holidays there. And that's how the first book came about. And I also love to do virtual travel with my kids, where we would set up an airplane in the lounge and we would all sit on our airplane chairs and they would pack their backpacks. This was when they were really young. And they would then wear their little air hostess badges, some of them, and others would get out their tickets. And I made these special instructions pages, like you get on the airplane, the safety cards, and they had to have a passport with their stamp in it. And then we would serve food to them and we would watch the takeoff of an airplane on YouTube. And then they would fly to the country they were going to while I served them a meal on the airplane, and they played with things from their backpacks and they had a nap. And then we would show a video of us arriving somewhere by airplane. And they loved that because it just really brought the whole traveling part to life. And to this day, we love to visit airports, whether or not we're going to be traveling. We'll go and have a meal there, or we'll go and walk around and watch the planes landing, or see the people who have just arrived from a country far away and take photos and just enjoy the whole atmosphere and excitement of being at the airport. So then I did the second book, which is A Clash of Swords in Scotland. And my love for mysteries came through even more there, where I really wanted it to be a mystery for the children to solve, as well as learning about the history of the country and meeting the people. In that book, they meet a future Earl of Scotland and they get to know him. I loved Scotland as a child as well. It's just so amazing. I remember driving up and down these green hills with my dad singing Loch Lomond. I did Scottish dancing as a child too, and I used to enjoy dancing while my dad played the bagpipes. I wasn't very good at all, but you know, when you go to an old age home and you dance, then they're very forgiving. So he used to play his bagpipes and I would dance. And we went to see mass pipe bands in Scotland. There's nothing like it. It's just almost impossible to describe the majesty of these hundreds of pipers, each pipe band with their own tartan and their own uniform. And just, it's glorious, amazing. And the Edinburgh Festival with all the different pipe bands and dancers and it displays by the Air Force. It's incredible. I describe that in my book as well. And so I really wanted to bring those countries to life in those books. Since then, we have started our adventure series. And there, instead of writing a whole book, which takes a couple of years, I've been writing short stories. So there'll be about 5 chapters, generally, in a country story. Some of them are short stories, like in the New Zealand book, there's just a short story of 1 chapter. But generally, the stories have 5 chapters, and they'll also involve some kind of adventure that the children have in the country as they travel around, and you get to learn where they go and where they stay and what it's like and what they eat and who they meet. And then along the way, you'll do all the activities and all the learning as you read the story. So a big part of everything that we do is the stories, because the stories are what bring it to life. The stories are almost like memories where you can picture it and you can be a part of what's happening in that country. So as many of you probably know, we homeschool our children. We have 5 children. At this point, they range from age 5 to age 15. And we just love homeschooling. We love the fact that we can do that and that we can teach our children to love learning, that we can enjoy incredible books written by people all over the world and throughout history where they can experience what it was like for them. And we love that they can learn to love learning and that they can learn about our world and then they can also travel and experience it all. And I just love all of you who are excited about traveling along with us and who are excited about other countries and who are always so enthusiastic about everything of ours that you use and about the ways that you say it's brought it to life for you. And people have also said that it's helped their children to learn so much about a country either before they visit it or even after having lived there for many years. And that's what I found. I loved researching and discovering these amazing gems like the hidden Tower of David that was found at Edinburgh Castle and that nobody knew about for so long, and then the hidden passages and what was hidden there and how the crown jewels of Scotland were hidden inside the tower during the war to keep Hitler from discovering them. One of them was hidden inside the wall, and the crown, I think, was hidden under the king's old toilet. It's so fascinating discovering these things. And then recently that story about an old jar found in this theater in Italy. I think it was in Como. And it was filled with these ancient Roman coins that were hidden there for many, many years and then recently discovered. And that was the inspiration for the Italy story, where they find something really incredible hidden inside olive oil bottles after they visit a restaurant in Milan. So I'm going to leave that there for today. I'd like to read you an excerpt from one of our Case of Adventure books. And I really hope that you love traveling as much as we do. And if you haven't got to travel yet, I hope that you really get to experience what other countries are like through our products. And I hope that you'll let us know the countries that you visit and what you loved about them and send us photos. It's so amazing to see what other people have done in other countries and what their kids have loved and what they've experienced. So happy travels!